We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can't do it. Wednesdays at 4. McNeil and Parkins on the score. You know the game by now. You ask one question to one person. No follow-ups. No proprietary information. If the question has been asked and answered before, we have the ability to answer with asked and answered, so we don't have to tear open the old wound unless we want to. If you get us to say can't do it, you get a prize or you get your question answered. So for you, it's a win-win. The thing is, recently the texters have been outperforming the callers. But it's a caller-only game.
Yes, we need you to call during this segment. 312-644-6767. And some good ones do come in via text. You're right about that.
And we need you to give good questions. So we need you to call, and then we need you to give us some good questions. So
both of us have been pretty candid about a lot of things. There have to be a lot of exploratory follow-ups, I would suspect.
Yeah, get creative. Come on now. 312-644-6767. We go to the Quad Cities and welcome Mike to Can't Do It. Mike, who's your question for?
It's for you, Danny. I just not a real in-depth question, just something I'm wondering personally. Do you believe that Ron Coomer is a big hack as an announcer who can only say what Pat Hughes says and then follow it up with no doubt about it?
No, I don't feel that way. Although I have noticed the no doubt about it speaking quirk, but I don't. What I like about Coomer is he's funny. Like, he's willing to tell a story and he's anecdotal in that way. Mac and I have talked about how it's kind of interesting that there aren't like bigger names. You know what I mean? Like, Ron Santo was a legend in that role, and Coombs played for multiple teams, so it's tougher to become a beloved player analyst if you're not a legend for that team. But I think that Coombs and Pat have genuinely good chemistry on the air, which for a baseball broadcast is my top thing that I'm interested in. Is it an easy
Pat Hughes? I love Pat Hughes.
Our baseball announcers in town all suffer from that. Ron was only here with the Cubs for a couple of years. Steve Stone, a handful of years with the Sox, but his best years with the Cubs and Baltimore Orioles. You don't think, you know, Darren Jackson, he doesn't scream White Sox legend, does he?
No.
How about Jim DeShays, who never wore a Cubs uniform?
And it doesn't mean that they
can't. And has almost nothing to say.
And it doesn't mean that they can't be a good booth. Like, you got them in there. But yeah, it's just, it's a weird thing. We're in the third biggest city in the country with two teams and one of them iconic. And there's no huge names that are doing the broadcast.
Well, the Cubs had an opportunity to hire Plesac a few years ago. He spent 2 years in a Cubs uniform. They were both lousy ones. Not among the better ones in his career. It was a mistake for them not to hire him for the TV job. Colossal mistake.
Plesac's awesome. I do genuinely like Pat and Ron, though. Let's see here. David in Sterling. You're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
All right, Mr. Dan Parkins, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for having me on. First time caller, long time listener. My wife and I love you guys. You're insane like us. So,
Parkins.
Mr. Parkins,
yeah.
My question to you. Have you seen the movie Mountain Between Us?
No.
Okay, well, here's a scenario. You are on a flight. Your daughter, which I understand you do not have, but you do have a mother. Everybody's got a mother.
Yeah.
You crash land in the mountains. You are immobile, sir. You are able to hobble around, but you would not be able to survive walking out of the mountain. Your mother and your fictitious daughter have died in the crash. They are outside preserving the snow. My question to you, Mr. Parkins, is who would you pick to eat to survive?
Between my mother and my fictitious daughter?
Yes.
Whoever dies first.
Yeah, right. Whoever dies first. But I'd also, I mean, I think this
Assuming you outlive either of them.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've talked about my life expectancy in a castaway situation. It'd be my mom. There's more like meat there, and she's older. So she's lived a fuller life. You got to do.
Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
That's quite a life. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta go by age there. I think my mom would be happy to sacrifice herself for her unborn granddaughter in this really weird scenario.
This is getting sick.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that was
a weird question.
That's eighth grade.
That was a weird question.
Which is a step up from last week's sixth grade call.
It's true. It's progress. 312-644-6767 in Glenview. Mike is on Can't Do It. Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. McNeil, do you believe that Brian Hanley should have been removed and replaced by David Haw on The Morning Show?
Do I believe he should have been replaced by David Haw? I didn't feel the move was absolutely necessary because The Morning Show has done very well, having said that, and having consumed a good percentage of shows that Mully has done with David and that David has done with Brian as well. I think he fits very well in our morning drive format. If that answers the question, I don't know if it does or doesn't.
I think it does. I think, you know, Haw being at every Bears game is going to be big. That's a cool presence for the morning show.
Yes, it is.
In that way, it's going to be different, but he filled in all the time with both of them, like you said. So I think that's a pretty easy transition compared to all the other changes that have happened. 312-644-6767. TJ in Manhattan is on Can't Do It. TJ, who's your question for?
It's for Danny Mac. How are you?
Hi, TJ.
Good, Danny. Hey, last week you said you were misdiagnosed with laryngitis and you had to go to a different place. Can you tell me who misdiagnosed you the first time?
Because I've had really good medical experiences at that hospital in the past, I don't want to indict them for an off day for one particular otolaryngologist. So I will say I can't do it.
I don't have the can't. Oh, Eli, my apologies. I should have told you this
can't
ahead
do
of
it.
Time.
Can't win with them.
Can't do it.
I'd rather not.
Can't do it.
You know, we were blessed with great hospitals in this city, and this was one of them. It just so happened that on a given Friday afternoon, somebody's weekend started early and told me 17 days of laryngitis is normal. You're fine. You never mentioned the words paralyzed vocal cord.
That's a bad job.
I'll go back to that hospital, though.
Well, TJ, though, that is how you play Can't Do It. Mac bit his tongue on that. He remembered. He asked him. Mac wasn't willing to unbite his tongue. TJ just walked away with the prize. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to line 7 in Springfield where Dan is on Can't Do It. Dan, who's your question for?
Danny Mac.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Danny. What is the most dishonest thing that you had to do to consummate a car sale?
You know, I didn't do anything dishonest, to be honest. I wasn't in the game long enough to learn all of the tricks necessarily. I was there for 6 months. The first month is a wash because you're training. The last month and a half was a wash because I had back surgery and also was getting ready for this thing to begin. I didn't screw anybody. In fact, I could have made 500, well, 100 and a quarter more on a deal. We had some holdback money on a trade-in, but I refused to do it because I knew the woman, and giving her a break of 500 on a trade-in meant more to me than making another dollar and $125. I didn't do that.
Is there as much wiggle room anymore when you're working at a real dealership?
No, the internet's exposed them all. The internet has made pricing for auto. The customer wins now. I got into the game a little bit late to prosper.
That's what I've heard about it or read about it. Just that it's very automated across dealerships at this point because all the information's there.
Yeah,
right?
You know what? You know who's got the best prices, and we were very aggressively priced. And it was a high-volume store, so we weren't making a ton of money.
A used car lot may be different, right? If you're doing something in that type of scenario, you could still probably screw someone over with misinformation. 312-644-6767 in Crown Point. Anthony is on Can't Do It. Go ahead, Anthony.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good, Anthony.
Well, real quick, Park, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Danny Mac is passed out on the beach, butt naked, vomiting out of his face. Can you physically, with nobody else around, roll his naked body over to save his life?
Oh, God.
Could I roll Mac's body over from
physically,
its
Physically, yeah. Could
front
you push my
back?
230 pounds over?
Yes.
Clear the vomit from him and save his life.
Yes, I could.
He'd rather not, but he would if he had to.
Yeah. Not only would I, but I believe physically I'd be able to. Now, I'm not a very strong man, but I would think that if Mac's life was at stake, I'd be able to get enough leverage and figure out a way to turn your fat ass over, frankly.
Appreciate that.
No problem. It'd be hard.
I'd do the same for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Give you a mint first, though.
Yeah, of course. Let's see. In Fox Lake. What a weird question. Tyler, you're on Can't Do It, Tyler. Go ahead.
All right, this one's for Park. If you had the chance to steal half of Mark Cuban's fortune and get away with it, would you do it?
Steal half of Mark Cuban's fortune and get away with it, would I do it?
Yes.
Yes. So basically your question there is, am I immoral enough to steal it? Yeah, I mean, half of his fortune? It's a couple billion.
Sure you would.
Yeah.
Sure you would.
He'd be fine. I'd be much better off. It's kind of a victimless crime if you think about it, and I get away with it. Yeah. I don't know what that says about me, but yeah, I would. Let's see here. On the north side, Mike is on Can't Do. A lot of mics today. Go ahead.
How's it going, fellas?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Danny Mac, this is for you. This may have already been asked and answered, but I'll just go for it. In your prime, how much on a weekly basis would you say that you snorted coke?
I was almost never more than a once a week guy, but that was enough of a reason for me to not want to go near it anymore after a period of time, because once a night means once a night / morning. Ain't coming home till the trib is on the porch, and that's not a good way to live. So it'd be very difficult to say. Once a week was pretty much it. But that was too much because I never wanted to stop.
It's a tough off switch to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine who used to work at this radio station said he did coke one time. He did a line of it, and he stepped away, and he said, you know what would be awesome? A gigantic pile of this stuff. And that's why he never did it again.
Yeah. Yeah, what an obvious observation, but also very accurate. Tim, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
It'd be for Danny.
Hey,
Mac.
Hi.
Danny Mac, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I'm a muskie fisherman, Blackhawk fan myself. When you go up to Canada in 2 weeks, would you rather catch your biggest muskie and the Blackhawks come in last place, or you catch no muskies and the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup?
I've just recently experienced 3 Stanley Cups since 2010. I want my personal best muskie, because if I do get my personal best, that sucker would be legal, and I then would get a replica mount of, I've got a 52.5, but I don't have that first 54. That's the legal in Canada. So, and I wouldn't keep it. I would have a replica made of it. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Wow.
In 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks away.
That's pretty selfish.
Hell yeah, it is.
All right, good. I've
got 3 Stanley Cups. I don't have a 54-inch muskie yet.
I get it. But other people would take more joy from the Hawks Cup than your muskie.
I know.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure why you were aware that it was selfish.
Because I'm selfish.
Yeah, that's fine. I respect the honesty. 312-644-6767 in Rockford. Aaron is on Can't Do It. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, this one's for Danny Mac.
Hi, Aaron.
I wanted to know, since you've talked nicely about Ginger Lynn in the past, who would be on your Mount Rushmore of adult film actresses?
Adult film actresses Mount Rushmore.
Whoo! How much time do you need?
That's a tricky one.
Mac,
Ginger Lynn is on it just for sentimental value.
Mac knows more about porn stars than anyone I've ever met by a factor of 100.
Yeah, I'm glad he made it easy, though. He just said female. He didn't add male to the equation, because I do have a Mount Rushmore of male adult film stars as well.
Maybe we can get to it next week.
So, yeah, let me go with Ginger Lynn, Raquel Darien. I've been on a Danica Mori binge of late, so let me go ahead and throw her in there, and just for a goof, let me go with Dakota Sky also.
Okay.
Dakota Sky. Everybody's busy Googling. Yeah, no, I know why.
How many more do you got in you? How many more questions?
Whatever you want to do, kiddo.
Let's do a couple more. Andy on the north side, go ahead. You're on
Hey, this is for Danny Mac.
Yep.
My fellow White Sox fan. Danny Mac, when you hear on the White Sox television broadcast Jason Benetti continually make those awful, corny jokes to Steve Stone, does it totally make you long for the Hawk?
No. I think the booth is upgraded with Jason Benetti. They've been the most valuable players on the White Sox this year, Benetti and Stone.
I agree.
They're fun. I enjoy the broadcast. I'm glad Hawk has had his opportunity to go out and do it his way. Sundays only. I've enjoyed a little bit of that, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Benetti and Stone. I like.
You ever been to Mardi Gras?
No.
Seems like a great time.
It seemed like it.
Yeah. Been to New Orleans. Never been to Mardi Gras. You been to New Orleans?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
All right. Baseline.
That sounded like a scene with Hawk and Stoney.
Yeah, it did.
Right there.
A little backwards.
And yes, Texter, Lana Rhodes would also be in the team photo. She's very, very talented.
She's very hot right now, right?
Yes.
She's at the peak of her powers right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be number one, actually, on their site when they do the little rankings. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about, yeah.
All right.
Well, Alexis Texas, Riley Reed, she would be among the toppers. Yeah.
Mia Malkova's up there.
Yes, she is. She goes head-to-head with Alexis Texas in the Battle of the Buns.
Yeah.
That's a compilation. You should enjoy it.
All right, that's a good place to end. we'll end there for the week. Thank you all for calling. Can't do it. Gave away one prize pack this week. Speaking of film, there's a huge change coming to one of your favorite events.
There is.
And it's getting some criticism. I want to discuss this with you. Good idea, bad idea. Got a shot at $1,000 coming up in 15 plus minutes or so. The Wildcats have the best home schedule in the nation this fall, hosting Michigan, Notre Dame, and more at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. You love the Oscars.
I love Oscar movies. I love watching them, especially if I've seen all of the films that are nominated, which requires a lot of effort these days because they stopped going to just five films 10 or so years ago. So now you really got to work hard to catch them all. But yes, I'm a big fan of the Oscars. I love movies.
Well, this most recent Oscars was the lowest rated Academy Awards, and some people thought it was the politics, and some people thought it was too many movies and like awards that nobody cares about, the technical awards. Some of the biggest movie stars in Hollywood didn't show up, so for the people that tune in for the celebrity and the fashion, like that was a factor. So the Academy has solicited feedback on stuff, and they've tinkered with a few things. One thing that they're going to do is some of those technical awards, they're going to give them out in the theater live to tape during commercial breaks of the Oscars and then play them back in a condensed version like CBS does with the Tonys or the Grammys or other award shows.
About damn time.
So they're going to speed up the stuff on the awards that nobody cares about. They are going to make the broadcast a little shorter. They're going to do a hard cap at 3 hours. And then here's the other thing. They've announced a new category, and it will likely be nicknamed the Popcorn Oscar. It is a popular film award. And so if it was implemented this year for the first time, which it is, the write-up here suggests that blockbusters such as Black Panther, Avengers, Deadpool 2, and Mission Impossible and Mamma Mia would be movies that would be nominated for the Popcorn Oscar, because what they're trying to reconcile is that the movies that are Best Picture nominees are not the ones that do the best at the box office.
Right.
So if they got the best box office to tune into the Oscars, that would, in theory, boost the ratings and generate more interest. And the Tom Cruises of the world, if Mission Impossible is nominated, one of the biggest stars in the world, he's at the Academy Awards, that would, in theory, improve the ratings.
Yeah, when I heard about this, I need some time to digest it before I rule on it. I think it's good that pictures that are outside of the typical formula for best film usually never have a chance. Superhero movies are not going to have a chance very often to be nominated for an Oscar. Comedies have a tough time getting nominated for an Oscar. And I think that often is because comedies seem to take a while to catch on. If you have a great Human Condition picture, and I wouldn't call Three Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri a great picture. I thought it was very, very good, and I've seen it a few times since last year's Oscars. It was a nominee. Many thought it was going to win. It's difficult for films that are outside of that to get recognized. When Mad Max Fury Road became a nominee two Oscars ago,
right,
I was incensed. I was really upset about that.
Didn't that win for a bunch of the technical stuff?
And I can see that. It was visually intoxicating. It had no business being mentioned with the other eight pictures or nine that were nominated. For me, that's just my opinion, and I know there are some others who I've shared. We debated it in social media when it happened a while ago, and there's no right or wrong answer to it. There are animated pictures in some cases that might be considered Oscar-worthy. I think Lion King got a nomination, did it not? I know that's a long time ago
Yeah, it did. I mean, Avatar got a nomination.
Fabulous film.
For Best Picture. I've seen some pushback on this in that, so now the year that like Black Panther, a movie that's in the superhero genre that also has a social consciousness to it,
right,
that should be nominated and stand alone for Best Picture, many people feel. But now is that going to only be relegated to this like offshoot popcorn flick Oscar? What I would say is let's see what happens, because it would seem to me that it would at least be possible that a movie could win and be nominated for both, and the Academy has not said that Best Picture is one thing, and then, hey, you dumb people that only like the box office thrillers like Mission Impossible, this is the thing for you. Like, I don't know the answer to this. It hasn't happened yet, but I would think it would be totally possible that Black Panther could be nominated for the popcorn Oscar because it crushed at the box office, and be nominated for Best Picture. It is possible. Titanic would be an example, right? A movie that killed at the box office and was a Best Picture nominee.
Yes, and set a record for most Oscar nominations. 14 of them.
The Martian is another one. The Martian did great at the box office and also was a Best Picture nominee.
Had they only been doing five that year, I don't know if The Martian would have made the top five. But doesn't matter. They're not doing just five anymore.
Agreed. But I guess my point is, to the early feedback that I've seen from, you know, just some of the Hollywood Reporter types and stuff that I read on Twitter when this thing got announced, the pushback to it, I was like, I actually think it's a pretty good idea on its surface, because if you don't, sometimes I'm a pretty big movie fan, nowhere near as big as you, but like I'm a pretty big movie fan, and there are often times when the Best Picture nominees come out and I haven't heard of half the field, much less seen half the field by the time the nominee. I always feel like I'm scrambling, but if this type of thing is out there, a lot of people are just casual movie fans. They go to the theater two, three times a year, and it's for the big things. I do think making it less snotty and about cinematography and the score.
Fun. But where's the fun here?
Yeah, give me. Tom Cruise should be at the Academy Awards. He's one of the biggest people in Hollywood. If his movie makes $1 billion worldwide, there should be some sort of nomination. Well, I thought this made sense.
He did a film last year, and I know that's not the point of this conversation, but he did one last year, American Made, that should have been an Oscar nominee. In my opinion, it's a true story. It's a fascinating story. And anytime Tom Cruise is flying an aircraft, it's fun, right? I mean, when have you ever seen a Tom Cruise in an airplane scene that wasn't cool?
I watched that movie on an airplane, and I was wildly entertained.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I really enjoyed the movie, and I was worried. I was like, am I going to be watching a movie with plane crashes while I'm on a plane, and then my flying neuroses kicked in? But no, that wasn't the.
He never crashed.
Yeah, it wasn't the point of the story.
It was what was waiting on the ground for him that was a little bit more intimidating. when he went to make sure the Contras were happy, so he brought him a box of liquor and porno rags.
Exactly. Which, by the way, nice little twist. That I was like, man, there's some legitimate drama in that story. But so you're reserving judgment.
Yeah, I want to think about it a little bit. I like the spirit of it. It is to further recognize the genre in film based on three of the five examples of films that you listed. Three of them are superhero movies. That's the best thing going
right
in Hollywood these days. I don't like it.
Black Panther, Avengers, and Deadpool. Right. Not your thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've been going to them because Captain America, Winter Soldier, 3 or 4 years ago sucked me in. I never thought I would like superhero movies, but it was terrific. I saw it a couple of times at the show. I've seen Black Panther probably is the best film I've seen this year, but that's not a high bar because it's been garbage. We're in the 8th month of the year yet, and I have not seen nor heard about any film that makes an audience leave the theater thinking, yeah, this is the reason they have the Oscars. Not one.
It's been a rough year for movies, and I think some of the best stuff has probably come out on Netflix, and then that's not a theater thing, and then it's right. tougher to get the buzz for it, and that sort of thing. And someone texted in and said, well, how about, you know, Tom Cruise just put out an Oscar-worthy performance? Fair enough. If you don't think he's done good work, fine. That's subjective. The point is, the movies that the most people go see don't get any recognition at the Academy Awards for the most part, and this is trying to give a high-profile award to it, something more than costume design.
It is. Well, those are technical awards.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, this would be an award, you know, best actor, best supporting actor, best actress, best supporting actress, best picture, best director, best original screenplay. Those are like the seven big ones. This will be a bigger award than one of those technical awards, and it'll go to a mass appeal movie. And someone sent on the text line, well, what isn't it just quantifiable? Won't it just go to whichever has the biggest box office? They said more details will come out. It was like a three-line thing that the Academy released on this. So there are details still to be ironed out. So I don't know if it's like 200 million at the box office or 100 million. Like, I don't know what the parameters are going to be to qualify, but my understanding of it is it's going to be, if your movie was really popular in the theater, you got a shot, and then they'll judge it based on which of those popular movies was the best popular movie.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. It's you're telling the audience finally that you're not as stupid as we've been making you feel for the past 85 years.
Exactly. Exactly right. This feels like it should appeal a little bit more. It's just one award. One award at one award show, not a huge deal, but it's like, man, that's a good idea.
I never minded the length of the Oscars.
You've seen all the movies.
Yes. What I like about the new format is getting rid of the technical awards, and I'm not talking best director. I'll even stay with you for best musical score and best director. Obviously, I have a stake in that, but there's so many of them that you just really best foreign documentary.
Right?
No, thank you.
Best short film adapted from an original screenplay.
It's right. Like,
okay, we get it.
Yeah.
You're very smug, and you care about yourselves quite a bit. Like we understand. Move it along.
And I think they can do a better job with the in memoriam, especially when some huge stars have passed. And there have been occasions in the past few years where, and the audience is responsive. When, you know, you see a Robin Williams flashed a few years ago, the audience goes crazy for that, and it should. And they should do more than just flash their picture and how old they were when they passed.
We've got a shot for you at $1,000 coming up. A Bears thought that I want to get to before we get out of here with transition at I think we're doing transition with Shep in an hour from now. There's a great call, local play-by-play of an awesome highlight last night. I want to play for you coming up, and I got a Sox question for you off of it too. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score. Little hawk thrown in there at the end, but that's a hell of a catch by Adam Engel and a great call by Jason Benetti.
Yes, it was. Monday night's catch was the only really redeeming quality, baseball-wise, I experienced at the ballpark. And he outdoes himself again last night. If only Adam Engel could hit.
Yes, that would help tremendously. The guy covers an insane amount of ground in center field, and the highlight plays of Robin Homer's is obviously awesome. He does have 5 errors on the season, but he plays a hell of a center field. He gets to a lot of balls, make a few more errors. But that right there is a good example. Like Jason Benetti, he might be the most talented broadcaster in this town, because he will do those games on the south side, and it'll give you a call like that, and he's integrated himself perfectly into the booth with Stone.
Think we got a little Syracuse pride going over here, fellas?
Yeah. I'm just surprised he didn't say himself.
Oh, listen, play by play.
Right, he was only talking about
Oh, just play by play.
Play by play broadcast. Okay. We're talk show hosts. This is a different category over here, Shepard.
Still broadcasting.
Sort of.
Broadcasting-ish.
Broadcasting-ish.
So you want to go play-by-play/analysts. Is he the most talented? Is that your question? Is that what you're positing here?
Yeah, let me build the case. They had an off day recently. The guy flies out to L.A. and does a national baseball game. It was with the Dodgers. Flies back. So does White Sox games. Mm-hmm. Off day. Goes out, does national baseball. Teams he's not broadcasting. He'll do college basketball and he'll do college football. That's a pretty versatile guy to have as a local broadcaster of one of your teams.
I've not heard him do any college football. I've not heard him do college hoops either.
Him and Dockett are good together on college basketball broadcasts.
Eli, the big college basketball guy.
I know he is. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a good college basketball broadcast.
Yeah, Dockett is good too.
Yeah, he is.
I like Doc too. But yeah,
he's a crazy person.
Jason came in and took over the White Sox job on a part-time basis. In a very deferential manner to the legend he was ultimately going to be replacing. And for me, immediately sounded like he fit in. Yeah. I think he gives you a very clean description of what's happening. I like his sense of humor. I like that he teases Stone about being from an era that he doesn't remember. I think that's a good dynamic. I like him.
I think he's a really...
Like, this is what I said earlier. Benetti and Stone are the MVPs of the Sox.
Okay, well, so you said that, and I'd been thinking about this, too, and I threw it out to Shep and Eli and a couple people around here before the show. I think I have the top two, but I want Sox fans to correct me if I'm wrong on this. Text line 67011, or if you think I'm missing something, go ahead. Big leagues. So I'm not talking prospect development here. I'm talking... big league individual wins. Before the year for the Cubs, I said I want them to be a juggernaut. For the White Sox, I said I want more individual wins than individual losses, right? More guys to step forward than step back.
How's that going?
That's kind of what I'm asking here. Because last night, Ronaldo Lopez turned in back-to-back. He's had back-to-back really good starts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 4.3 ERA for the year. And I know you can't do this, but he's had two blow-up games out of 23 starts. He had an 8-run game and a 7-run game. If you remove those two, and I know you can't do that, but like in theory...
There's no way you can do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You found it, Eli.
There it is.
He's down to a 3.48 ERA. Ronaldo Lopez, I would say, has been a very good piece for the White Sox this year. He will be in your rotation for years to come.
He looks like a major league pitcher. He doesn't look like a star just yet, but that's not necessarily the expectation. You want development. You want him to throw strikes. You want him to get deep into ball games as deep as you can in this era.
He's averaging 6 innings per outing.
For the most part, he's done that.
And for first full season in the big leagues, damn, he's carrying himself pretty well, and he's thrown some gems.
So I like his performance this year a lot better than the second baseman's.
Well, right, and so that's where I'm going. I think Rodon is the biggest win. Back from injury, showing really high-end stuff and high-end potential if he can stay healthy. I think Ronaldo Lopez is the second biggest win. I'm asking, basically, am I missing anything, or is there anything else bigger? Like, is there another thing that a Sox fan feels like?
Well, yes, there is. How important is exit velocity to you? Because Daniel Polka is still among the league leaders, and he's hit a bunch of dongs.
Daniel Polka's a major league piece. He's a major...
I don't know.
Shep, Eli, Bueller, the text line...
We're just talking major leagues. You can't go minors.
I'm not talking about like
You've seen at the big club this year.
That like you're like this for because obviously a Braves had another great all-star caliber season, leads them in every offensive category. But like we knew this, Jose Abreu is very good. Like in terms of progress, guys taking a step forward, developing, however you want to quantify that. What bigger wins individually have they had, if any, than Rodon or Lopez? Or if those are the top two, what's number three?
I don't know a three after that.
There is
Rodon staying healthy is the most important thing. He shows when he is. He can be a damn fine pitcher. Lopez, who wasn't a throw-in, but wasn't like the heralded name that came back in the Eaton trade, like looks like he's going to be a starter for quite some time. What's the next part? Is it Polka's offense? Because
it might be.
Tim Anderson got off to a hot start. He's got an OPS
bad.
Under 700.
Yeah,
like that's brutal.
Giolito over his last four of his last five starts, he's given up a max 3 earned runs. And, you know, the one he had the one blow up last week or a couple weeks ago against the Blue Jays. But other than that, he's been good. He's probably been the most consistent starter of late besides Rodon.
Yeah, I think Giolito's a piece also for your rotation.
He hasn't lived up to the high expectations we had for him when they broke training camp, though. There were people
Correct.
Talking about him as being a near top of the rotation guy. And why? Because he looked amazing on a Saturday afternoon in March pitching against the Cubs.
It's a guy with a 6 ERA. He's got a 5.97 ERA this year.
That's what
like,
I'm
take
saying.
Take your four good starts and shove them somewhere
That's
because that
saying.
Doesn't do a whole lot. 4 out of 30 ain't bad. Good job.
Texters are saying Tim Anderson is on pace for 20 home runs and 30 stolen bases.
I don't care. Wait, to quote the fugitive.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. His OPS is 680.
And
yeah.
he,
that's
and
not
a
good.
Defensive shortstop.
And he's gotten no better defensively.
Guys,
he looked
don't attack me.
I'm sorry. I'm attacking Texter through you.
I'm looking for we agree here, Rodon Lopez.
That's it.
Okay, it's not.
I think it's Rodon by a significant margin. I think Rodon's potential is,
yeah,
I don't want to say through the roof, but pretty high.
Sox fans get mad at me for not being patient enough on Yoan Moncada. I'm sorry. He's had a full season after some playing time last year. They traded Chris freaking Sale for him, and he's been colossally disappointing.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can call him anything but a disappointment at this point.
I think it's too early in this rebuild to get bent out of shape. I know. Obviously, you want all your prospects, the top prospects that you got in these deals, to work out right now. But if we're talking about 2020, 2021, for them to contend, we're still 2 years away. That's why people saying, oh, bet the over easy on this Sox win total was a little out there.
Thanks, Eli, because we did that.
Yeah.
It was clearly called out the show.
Yeah.
Let's give him 20 points on his BA next year, and he's a robust 240. We're going to do a celebrate. And by 2020, he might hit 260 with an on-base percentage of 360.
So let's say Moncada.
Moncada, what I see from Moncada when I watch is a guy who has a great, like, eye at the plate almost to his detriment. I see this guy take so many looking strikeouts. I'm like, get the ball. Swing
the gut.
Swing a little more.
Yeah.
But when he does hit the ball, he hits it pretty hard. And so there's power in there. And I've been told you don't look at a representative sample until it's closer to 1,500 plate appearances. And he's not even close to 1,000 yet. He's at like 600 or 700.
I know. So
you see what I'm saying?
Like I do.
In that regard, you have to give him at least another big league season before you write him off as not having a high ceiling.
That was the single biggest reason for me to want to go to the ballpark this year, and it's been the single biggest disappointment. I'm not saying he won't figure it out.
I get it.
I don't think 23 is a baby in baseball terms either. A lot of people, he's only 20. Well, I've seen there's a lot of guys who are 23, 24 who are doing some pretty amazing things, or recently in the last few years did, younger than Yoan Moncada is today.
You're seeing guys perform younger and younger, no question about it. And there are plenty of minor league wins for them. And again, texters are texting in Abreu. Not what I'm talking about. Abreu's known commodity. Abreu was awesome.
Right, we're talking about when they get good again.
Yeah, and progress this year. Like, what were your wins in a year of development? What are the how many developmental wins at the big league level do you think there've been? And if it's not a horrible year, by the way, if Rodon and Lopez are developmental wins, if you think there are at least two more starters coming in the minors in the next year or two, that's not horrible. If 2 years from now, 4/5 of your starting rotation is going to be homegrown pitching prospects under club control pre-arbitration.
It's rare.
Incredibly rare.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
So that's not a knock on the Sox. It's just I'm wondering if there are more than those two that people are like, okay, Palka's a piece or Tim Anderson's got a little bit trending upwards. Like, those seem to me to be fairly small in comparison to those other two massive wins. Just, again, as admittedly a casual observer of the Major League product this year.
And I've been very casual since mid-May. There just haven't been. When I go to the ballpark, obviously I'm going to check out the game, but it's been. I know they were going to lose a ton of games. It's that I'm not seeing the contributions of the young players who are supposed to be a part of it. While they're on the big club now, doing good things consistently, I have not seen enough of it. And I'm bothered by some of the things that are going on at the lower levels, too. Injuries and the absence of performance.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is CAPE. Text CAPE, C-A-P-E, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is CAPE to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We're McNeil and Parkins bringing you home on the score.